Come on, where have you been, mate? Where have you been?
Now that I've got a real job, Robert, I've got a lot of commitments on. So
are you having that, Leon?
The first.
Do you call coaching a real job?
Maybe not.
You know, you've got coaches. Rick Stone with the greatest name in rugby league. Rick Stone's a coach. What Robbo is, I reckon, he's just a glorified cone picker-upper.
I am literally everything you are, right? For the 19s, I am kit man, coach, physio. I am everything. So, no, we're obviously playing away at Warrington the Wednesday before.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, I had to do something. We're setting up a Cat C college team, which basically means it's another college team within the Huddersfield Giants umbrella.
Oh, okay.
And basically, I was getting lads, give an introduction, coaching session, and just try to attract a few of them into it.
So what he means by that, Leon, is he was down at Warrington last week selling tickets to his final dinner event, which is, who's hosting that?
That is, you're having me ladies night, but the last two is Brian Carney's doing it, and JP's going to be guest speaker.
And JP's a big guest speaker. And then last Wednesday, he was working on a little closer to home, promoting the same event.
Pretty much.
So welcome to the Luke Robinson testimonial show. But how did the boys go two Wednesdays ago? So as a coach, you were coaching them down in Warrington. Did they win?
Yeah, we did. Oh, no, it was the first team last week.
Oh, the first team?
Yeah, it was the first team.
Oh, that's right, it was. They had a friendly, didn't they?
Yeah, 12-0, yeah. So...
Is it a decent win, 12-0?
Mate, you'd take any win, wouldn't you?
We were friendly, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're only friendly, do you know what I mean? Then obviously we played Widnes last week, and that were a decent win. You like to see going on high pitch and getting a win, that's all. Early doors, lads, all that counts is getting points on the board.
You're right. Especially with the system, the way it is. Now, yeah, I was talking to Kirk Gidley the day after that game, actually, on the Thursday, the morning after, and I was asking him, did you just put a young team against Huddersfield? What was it? And they said, no, they went out with the full squad, went out to play the game to win.
Yeah.
And I just reckon that you guys turned up. You guys look hot on the weekend as well against Widnes.
It was a good hit out for us, you know. Like Leon says, you've got to be really careful in what you take from friendlies. That's what they're out there today. I'm not sure if Warrington have got their eye on a bigger prize a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's coming around the corner. But no, against Widnes' opening game, that high pitch... A lot of teams lose on that, you know, away teams. Widnes have got a really, really good record. If you go through the history, when they started playing there on that high pitch, they win a lot of home games. Mm. So for us to go there, the opening game of the season, we're good. I ain't going to lie, I don't think Widnes were very good either. I think they're struggling at the moment to replace Kevin Brown. It makes it even more difficult, the fact that Mellor, their other main half, who's now been promoted to captain, is also out. So you've lost your club captain. And then you're bringing somebody else to take that role, and he's out as well. I think it makes it extremely difficult.
And as we all know, Kevin Brown was the heart and soul of that team. Everything that creatively on the field used to revolve around him, which sort of claimed him an England berth this season. So he's going to be, and they've not really replaced him, have they?
No, I don't think they have. I think it was a little bit last minute. You know, Kev Brown, I think Warrington came in last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with Sandow not coming back over.
Yeah, with Sandow not coming back over, Warrington basically made a big play for him, pretty much.
Ka-ching!
I heard he took a pay cut to go there, though. Yeah. Saying in papers.
Yeah, he took a pay cut. To go to Warrington. Robbo knows. They're best mates. Robbo knows.
To be fair, even if it's a pay cut, he's probably still not doing bad. But look, he was the heart and soul of the team. A lot of the players were derived around the way that his style of rugby saw. To then lose him last minute and not get somebody else in place of him, I'm not going to lie, I think Widnes are going to, I think they're going to find it pretty difficult this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. By the looks of it, and like you said, it's really important to get a quick start. Leon.
Hello. I'm here.
Mate, I don't want to know about the game on Sunday because I was there and it was absolutely freezing and what about it? But I want to know more about, I want to know from everyone, what did you do for Valentine's? It was only yesterday. Producer Ewan was feeling sorry for himself because he was here covering the Bradford City game. That's what happens when you like football, mate. Leon, I've never seen so much social media engagement about your lovely wife, Carly. You were showing... Did she hack your account and was she putting that in herself? But there was so much love about this woman.
No, I was having a bit of fun. She's been a bit miserable over the last like 7 or 8 weeks, so I just thought we'd have a bit of fun and try and keep her happy and not argue for a change. So we're just having a laugh.
It was emotional.
Yeah, it made me feel.
It made me feel like less of a husband.
Oh, did it? Is that where it seriously come across?
It was lovely.
Yeah,
it was you smashing it. You're now the wife's favourite.
Oh yeah. All right. Cool. I'm not really bothered about that. I'm looking for like applause from women, or I'll just be honest. You know me, Rob.
Oh, I tell you, he's always got an ulterior motive. But Robbo, on that note, because Leon's obviously shown that he is the passionate, loving husband and father that he is, he's done it so exceptionally well. Do you not think he should be hosting the ladies' night in a couple of now that he's the ladies' favourite?
No, thank you.
No, I'm quite happy you're doing, Rob, because you know you've got that.
I've got to admit, I'm a bit nervous
sleaze,
about
you.
It.
You've got a little bit that sleazy. Don't be saying that. Just a little sleazy. You know,
Robbie, you can't say Robbo. Maybe Robbie Paul had that, but not Robbie Hunter Paul.
He's a
different person.
And his wife's going with him just to keep an eye on that. Robbie Paul doesn't come back out.
He doesn't start running around going, "Darling, I've got a lot."
My wife is coming as well. I tried to say, oh look, it's going to be late, and you know you've got babysitting issues and stuff like that. Do you want to go? You know that throwaway comment. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. I'll be there before you are.
Well, there is 320 booked and paid on, so it's going
to
be.
Explain it. I'm a bit nervous. I've never been to a ladies' night before, and I've got all these things going around in my head that are just. I'm actually frightened.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to lie, mate. I went to Malcolm Alka's late night priestess this morning. I'd be frightened as well if I were you.
So we've got a cage for me to stand in. explain a little bit about who's going to be there.
Well, obviously me and the Giants lads are going to be there.
All of the Giants?
There's going to be about the majority of the ones that are younger and single, so they've been given a pass. One or the two of the other lads have managed to wrangle their way in, but not going to lie, a lot of the married blokes, I think, have been told
been given the slap.
It. Yeah, and then from there, I've been mates ringing me up over and over again asking if they can do it. I'm like, no, your body's horrendous. No one knows who you are. But no, it's going to be a fun night. There's going to be a lot of games. We're going to maybe try and auction some of the boys off. We're going to play a lot of games where... I don't know.
Auction the boys off. So that'll be me auctioning them off.
Yeah, pretty much. That's you'll pretty be auctioning
cool.
Yeah,
them off.
I can off. Do that. There's going to be a little bit of game where there's the lads are in teams. There might be a sit-up competition, press-up competition. The women basically will have a bookies where you put bets on them, cheer for your horse basically. So if you buy your horse, you could be cheering for your horse
to win.
Put a couple of quid on him. And then there's obviously a Robbie Williams tribute act who's going to be going down, obviously. I mean, I think he's very well known. Danny Lowry, he's basically up and down the country. Everyone knows who he is.
Oh, that's
within
cool.
That circuit.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
They don't do men's ones like this, do they? It's the traditional old sportsman's dinner, which is normally the traditional place for or men only. But actually, over the last 3 years, so I do the after-dinner speaking circuit. It's predominantly been 50-50, men and women.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I try to do one, to be fair, myself. A lad's night, basically, yeah. Sportsman's evening. I had loads and loads of women going mad at me saying that it's sexist and all this stuff. And you know, I actually thought
have you had loads and loads of coming to you saying doing a ladies' night is sexist?
Actually, no, I haven't, strangely. But when you look at the demographics of who actually comes and watches rugby league and where they come from, it's, do you know what? It's women and men, isn't it? So it's a mixture.
A by not getting Leon involved, you know, you understand. And Leon's network, like four of his best mates are personal trainers. They're all ripped to the max.
Yeah, what was wanting to know?
To be fair,
I'm just saying he's Mr. Tricky. Should have got you involved.
Oh, look, Redden's a good model as well.
He's a model. He's a supermodel, Stuart Redden.
I don't think his wife would let him do it, Rammer. I don't think he'd be a bit like you. His wife would have to go with him.
To be fair, Ashton Fielden.
Ticker's
rigged up to eyeballs.
Yeah,
Spraff's not that.
Looks after himself.
But he's only a flyweight. But Raiden and Rambo, your man, they're ripped up bones.
I've actually had Keith Mason text me saying, "I'll do it."
Oh, yes. Get Mason.
I
don't
think I'm going to get him involved.
Mason, we want you to come and do. You come and be a part of it.
Get Mason. Mason love it. Fielden, he'd do it. Fielden 100% do it.
I've asked Fielden, but he's got Robbie. He's got his little boy.
We're just looking at the time. We're quickly going to have to go to the break. When we come back, we'll be hearing from Bobby because we haven't heard from Bobby yet. And we'll see how Halifax are getting on. All that and more. Stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Join the biggest names in the game for the latest news, special guests, and opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We got Leon Price, Luke Robinson, and Jacob Fairbank in the show with us tonight. Luke and Bobby, Jacob, sorry, Bobby, we'll stick with Bobby tonight. What did you guys get up to on Valentine's before we get into the rugby?
Monday night, well, I had training last night, so I couldn't treat last night, so I went out Monday, just went down to a local Italian.
How does that go down? We know how it goes down. It never went used to any sort of where rugby would get in the way used to really, really annoy and really, really make angry my missus. Nah. But how did that go down?
Nah, mine's all right. I was pretty laid back and get away with murder sometimes. So
I've never heard of it. I've never heard of that.
She does the
shit. Airbag, mate, that's what happens.
That's just how they roll.
The blokes rule the roast, don't they?
Hey, just how they do it. Robbo, what do you do for Valentine's?
Nothing's obviously been busy, but this will be my last weekend off, so we are going to Bruges this weekend.
Oh, yeah. He's on holiday again, Leon.
Let me just
what
get straight.
What is going
I'm
on
sick,
here?
I'm sick of listening to a great Pontel. I'm working every hour under the sun. I'm sick of it. I'm switching off. Over to you, Robbo. I'm going to sleep. I don't want to listen.
Listen, just for everyone out there.
I'm not listening.
I didn't go to Tenerife last week. That's a lie. I was working, whatever Rob says, but I am going to go to Bruges on one of them P&O ferries from Hull, basically, this weekend. We're going, where you go? We go over on boat, you spend a day there, you come straight back on boat.
Oh, mate, you got to go to Birdie's. It's just off the main square. It's got like 1,000 different bottled beers, and they've got this big giant box, and not a single one of the beers starts lower than 6% alcohol because it's, you know, it's Belgium beer. And then to put them to the test, see if you can get the weirdest beer that they've got and see if they've got it in the house, because I've been testing them over the last 4 years and they're smashing it. Bertie's, it's called.
You've got to be careful, though, because me and Jake, it must be a bit of an Halifax thing, but I cannot drink and neither can Bobby. The amount of times I've caught him laid face down in the middle of Halifax.
Bobby, is this true? All your uncles, everyone in your family can drink the famous Fairbank Rugby League dynasty. You putting your family to shame?
All the times I've been out with Rob, I haven't had a chance to drink, so I've been looking after him that much. Been babysitting, it's been nuisance.
Well, he's not the biggest, is he? You know, yeah. I used to find that drinking with guys that are 6'6", that if you stay at the same rate as them, and me, who's been all of 4'5", you know, my boots fill up well before theirs do.
Toucan Van Damme, Rob.
Love that. What do you do? Obviously, Halifax is a part-time team. Are you with the rest of the family wrestling pigs and throwing cows for a living?
No, I'm strong community side with Halifax, so we're going to schools.
Oh, your family will be looking down their noses. Shame at you.
Your
family used to go and do all that real heavy lifting, that tough stuff, and then go play professional rugby on the weekends and then play international rugby at the highest level. And what are you doing?
That's probably why I ain't gone much further than I have.
Tell about your granddad who's got on coach.
I know. They met Leeds when they were playing at Leeds after being working at farm, doing a stretch on farm, and that, and he had to come before last training session. They said, Jack, you had to be a special jacket or whatever they wore, blazer for the game. They end up wellies, smock, head to toe in cow muck.
But he had his blazer on.
Yeah. No, he had to travel on his own. And no, we're a bit different than the rest of them. I ain't really took to the farming side like the rest of them. Like my cousin, Harry, and that, is mad keen on it and that, but
I still bet you know more about farming than all the rest of the five of us in here together and then tripled.
Yeah, I've been brought up with it, Anna, since I was little, so we'll spend all my days and that. So we all go up there. It's like, I'll go up for dinner off of Grandma feeds, $5,000 most days. So that's good. It's been good. I've had a good childhood and that, but not really.
I can only imagine it. I spent a little bit of time on the farm. We've got our family in the far north of New Zealand have some farm land up there. I got taken out to... They were doing the lambs, culling the lambs. Right. And oh my gosh, I was only 7 years of age. I was in tears. I was in bits and pieces. But we'll move on quickly from that because probably people are at home eating their tea at the moment, potentially. Halifax, not the start of the season that you would have liked, you would have expected, but obviously it's a long season ahead.
Yeah, obviously we're not too worried at the moment, but two losses from two is not a good start, is it?
Just tell them what they said online, that little comment that the fan made.
Yeah, we're still 12 points above Bradford. So.
I'm not laughing. I don't find it funny as a player, but it was quite funny.
It could be worse, but
it could be worse, a lot worse, mate. Let me tell you.
We pushed Featherstone out way, like at home, bounced at ball, didn't go our way a few times, so we could have turned them over. But Battle last week in them conditions, I think.
Pleasant was Mount Pleasant?
Not very. But it was same for them as well, wasn't it? So we can't complain.
But you know, when you get, if it's your home ground, you get so used to it. For teams, for Batley, they really love this. I don't know of a single player in the in the championship competition, or even when it comes to the cup games in the Super League, that says, yes, playing out Mount Pleasant this weekend, because it's such a tough place to play.
We used to have it at Salford. You could just see, I remember Wigan, I've probably told you before, when Wigan come, the Aussies were taking pictures of the changing rooms and of the field, and we're like, we're going to beat them because they don't want to be, and that's what it's like going to Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. I've spent a bit of time there on loan before, like Huddersfield with Joel Reds. Like playing there, you actually take it, you know.
It becomes a fortress, doesn't it?
Yeah. After it sounds, it's easy going uphill and downhill.
You know, I worked out, because obviously I spent a couple of years in the Championship, I worked out why. It's the reload on your defence. Yeah. Because you do have to push forward, but you can see that in front of you. But when you reload quickly. So you can get your defence
set. And as a team playing there, you know that no one likes coming there and that. So, but on Sunday, I think they just played Condes better than us. We give away far too many penalties and maybe just out infuses a bit, as bad as that sounds as well. But
yeah.
This week we've got a chance to turn it around. We've got Sheffield at home.
So a massive game against Sheffield at home. You want to get these 2 points, don't you?
Yeah, we need to get it, just monkey off his back if we can, and roll on from there.
So optimistic. You guys have made some new signings over the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, they brought prop in from, I think he's been on trial down at London.
Yep.
It's time, big prop, big lad. Needed him really. Needed a bit more weight in his packing. We've thinned the squad down a bit from like last year. So that's helped. But I think we signed back rower Grader from Dewsbury for this season. He's got off to a real good start against Featherstone, who are probably our standout player. So unfortunately, we missed him for calf tear against Battley, which.
Mm-hmm.
Were a big loss, but hopefully we're back this week.
Yeah, I mean, the Shay is one of the better stadiums to play in at the in the Championship competition, so it must be a luxury for you guys running out there every other week. And you must be the talk from Richard to you guys about trying to turn that place into a fortress, because we spoke briefly about the Featherstone game. That was a real muscle up game. It could have gone either way, I understand it, but. What's the talk in and around the changing room about home games?
Obviously, I think lads joked about it, calling it graveyard a bit last year, but I don't know, it's been difficult really. We were hit and miss all last season. I think we need to get a bit of confidence back in this game and that, and we've got the team on paper, you know, so hopefully when it clicks we'll be good and we can make a fortress at home.
Obviously, Holkiag come in as the favourite for the competition. They've got a Super League-style team. I would even argue they've got a stronger team than when they were in the Super League last year. You guys are still aiming, though, to be in their top four?
Yeah,
that's your goal?
Yeah, definitely. I think Halifax in Championship were a big club, and we had a table with a little bit of success in top four 2 seasons ago, and not making it last year. So, as a club, if we're not... We are, as a group, we're aiming for that top four if we can.
All right, well, I'm sure, like the rest of us, we wish you all the best of luck. Probably not Leon.
Not too much.
Not too much, yeah. Don't want to get too far. Don't get too far away from those 12 points that Leon was talking about, minus 12. Just a reminder, you can win a family pass to Halifax, massive game this weekend against Sheffield Eagles, this Sunday at 3 o'clock kickoff. Just contact... the show by pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Answer this question. Which famous Fairbank brother did I play alongside of right back when the club was Bradford Northern, and then for 1 season when I went into the Bradford Bulls? Actually 2 seasons, because he didn't retire till 1997. That was when this famous Fairbank brother or uncle to Jacob retired. So into the... hot topics in the sport of rugby league. Actually, we'll do that after we come back. Oh, that's perfectly timed. It's now time to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the hot topics and all the what's going on in the world of rugby. Stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, looking at all of the sport's hottest topics. We're giving away a family pass to Halifax's top match this weekend against, I'm about to say top of the table clash, but there's only 4 points in it. So it could kind of be a top of the table clash.
That for you then, just rubbing it in to Halifax, lads.
Halifax game against Sheffield Eagles this Sunday down at the Shea. Family pass, so just click on this www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Answer this question: which famous Fairbank brother, uncle, did I play alongside of at the Bulls and Bradford Northern? So he retired in 1997, I think that was correct. And let us know. And you've got to, what did we say, Friday afternoon? Friday lunchtime. Midday Friday to get your answers in and win that free family pass. So I think that equals two adults and up to four children. I hope it does. Anyway, we've done it. So let's look at the sport's hottest topics. Leon, one of your mates, Kieran.
Oh.
He.
Oh. Kieran. Kaz.
Kaz.
All right, what's it on? What's it on?
St. Helens head coach. He thinks that he would have seriously considered going down to Australia during that golden era he played in. So he's ferrying the British pound. This is leading on to something, by the way.
Go on, right. So what's your point?
Do you think he would have gone?
No, I know he wouldn't have done. I know him. He's an home bird. He loves being at home. He hates travelling anywhere. He would never have left unless you offered him like mega huge money.
So why do you think that he's saying he would have definitely considered it?
He might have.
Everyone's got a price.
He might have considered, but I know him as I know him. He wouldn't have gone unless it had been huge money. Unless they'd offered him £2 million a year. But I know Kaz, he's an home bird. He didn't even like go to pre-season training in Lanzarote, never mind moving to Australia.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is that why he missed so many tours?
Yes. Yeah.
Seriously. He's no good.
Yeah, I know him what he's like. He wouldn't travel. He hated it.
That was good for the rest of the world.
Unless you're offering him like £700,000-£800,000 a year, then Kaz wouldn't have been going nowhere. He's in his house in his big five-bedroom paid-off house.
If the things, to be honest, though, if the thing and the money that they're talking about players getting down there at the moment, if the things were equal right now and he was in the prime of his game, which he was that good.
No, I don't think he'd have gone.
You still don't think he would have gone?
No. Well, he could have gone when he were in his pomp.
Then why do you think he's saying that he would have considered it?
I'm not too sure. Maybe he's talking about the Greenwood situation, because apparently Greenwood's going to Gold Coast and they're going to get Zibtera in as a replacement. That's a rumour mill, which I think, even though if you're losing...
So is it trying to shine the focus back on the sport over here and the need to increase the salary cap?
Maybe so, yeah. Well, it needs central funding in it. It needs a bunch of players that are targeted by the RFL that they think are up-and-coming great good players for the international team. And they need to be centrally contracted so that they have a right over them. Then these arguments about going away on a Dubai trip, we can't be argued, because if you're centrally contracted and you're owned a little bit by the RFL, then they have a much bigger say over you.
So we've moved seamlessly into the point that I was going to talk about. Centrally contracted players.
Oh, man, I'm all for it. I think we did this back in the day, didn't we? We discussed the idea of it. No. A long time ago, Chris Radlinski, Kieran Cunningham, I think, were one of them, wasn't it? Faz.
Kieran Cunningham.
We spent a lot of money giving them extra money so that they wouldn't leave the sport. So it's not something new. And you know, it's been around before. The other code do it. Every other sport does it. Cricket, obviously, are massive into it. I just think you hit the nail on the head. Just because the amount of the pound to the dollar now is the salary cap in Australia compared to ours, rugby union salary cap compared to ours, we are losing the competition now. I don't want to turn it to Gary Schofield, but I don't think it's as good now as it was 10 years ago.
It's not a fact. It's not.
I know.
Fact.
I don't, because we would have now 10 years ago we would have had the Burgess brothers over here, James Graham over here, you know, Hodgson over here, but would have also been attracting, probably for a payday, a lot of the sort of stars of Australia that wanted a bit of money before they retire. So this competition is good.
But we're talking about marquee elite Australian stars.
Yes. You know, when I first started saying, Steve Renoff, you know, I was like, oh my God, it's Steve Renoff. it's unbelievable. So there is definitely a need for it. They already do it with Sam Tompkins, don't they? Basically, we already do it. They've never named this a couple of years ago, but basically all them shows that he does, he doesn't do them for free. No. Do you know what I mean? He does them because he's getting centrally funded. They're contemplating to do it with Clark and Curry, aren't they?
Well, it's not centrally funded. It's funded via Sky.
The thing is, though, I think the difference is between when they did it with Gary Connolly and Radlinski and Farrell is, back then, they were our superstars and we kept them. Now, I think it's our players that are just below the cusp, that are just before they get to superstars, people like Elliot Whitehead.
Because our superstars have already gone.
No, what?
They're down there already.
No, just if you listen to what I'm saying. So yeah. People like Hodgson.
Sorry.
Hodgson, Elliot Whitehead, they weren't superstars when they went. But they can go there for less money than what they're going to... Sorry, not as much money here, but down there they'll get more money. They might get offered it over here, I don't know, $110,000 a year. They can go down there and get $300,000, $400,000 a year. Easy.
And the lifestyle. No problem.
And the lifestyle. And then they also, if they play well, they become this main marquee player that when you come back over here to England, you can demand $250,000 a year. Well, why wouldn't you go? So he's gone out there. He wasn't even one of the best players in Super League. All of a sudden, he's one of the best hookers in the world. But over here, he wasn't a marquee player. So it's the players that are just before, in my opinion, that are just on the cusp of becoming big names, i.e. Elliot Whiteheads, Hodgson's, that, you know, they're the players really as well that we need to keep all of that as well.
Robbo.
Leon is literally describing Joe Wardle from Huddersfield. He were a Bradford kid who come through the Bradford ranks. We poached him. We took him at Huddersfield. He's just below. He's been knocking on the door. McNamara's been ringing up about England. He runs sure because he's with Scotland. A few injuries, but he's probably just described Joe Wardle for me. He's just knocking on. He probably the next couple of years he's going to make the step up to international, but he's gone over to Newcastle Knights and then. What's going to happen in 4 years' time?
Could that then make him that international by taking him to the next level?
You look at the England national team now, all that starting team, all the team, were all NRL players. He picked a full NRL team. Mm-hmm. There were players that were playing good enough over here in England to get in the squad, but they weren't picked. So what it says, you go to NRL, you get in play half decent, you're going to play. Mike Cooper, he didn't really play that much over here. He's starting back row, starting front row for England. Mm-hmm. That's no disrespect to him, I'm just stating a fact.
Yeah.
You know, players like Danny Outwin, who got Man of Steel, didn't even get in squad. So he shows you the full starting team were nearly basically all NRL. So he's saying to our players, if you go over there, you've got a much better chance of getting our international team. That's quite discouraging for the Super League fans as well.
Okay, so there's kind of two things here. There's one, if you there's more than just a financial advantage. So centrally contracted players may not necessarily stop the player drain.
It may not because they're because they have what's it called, minimum wage. So their minimum wage is $70,000, which over here is what, £40,000?
It's about 50 now. £50,000. Right. The power of the pound.
So for you to get £50,000 in a Super League team or a championship team, you've got to be not far off international. You're not going to get that. There's teams that can play players 12, 15 grand a year, 20 grand a year. Why wouldn't you go and take a punt at getting a minimum wage in Australia and being a part of a 25-man squad?
Okay, so why invest in being a centrally funded? You know, why is that a good thing?
Because we've got to try something, haven't we? But these are all the scenarios that we're coming up against week after week with the salary cap, with the player drainage to go in, with the rugby union, with the NRL. It's harder and harder to keep our players because the salary cap in Australia is only going to keep on going up. The minimum wage is only going to keep on going up. Where if we keep paying our lower players 12, 15, 20 grand a year, why not take a punt and go to Aussie and get paid minimum wage and still be on triple what you get over here?
I like Leon's idea, of actually targeting the ones that are going to become superstars in the next few years. So, like you said,
on those lower wages,
yeah. If you're already a superstar, already a superstar, mate, you're going to go NRL because it just makes financial sense. It makes probably a lifestyle sense. It means everything, you know, everything that goes with it, it's the full package. But I think Leon's hit the nail on the head. Really, the ones that are just on the cusp of becoming stars, but haven't yet sort of drawn the attention of the NRL clubs, they're probably the ones we need to keep locking, and by giving them an extra little bit of money, it's an incentive to stay.
And half the time, it's the players that maybe not only superstars, because they don't play for Wigan, Saints, Leeds, Warrington. That's the only reason sometimes they don't get that exposure, because they're not playing within the best four clubs. That's the only reason sometimes they don't become that big household name sometimes.
Maybe give the governing body over here the sport. Put aside the governing body, but give the sport a little more autonomy, as opposed to the clubs having all the autonomy.
Yeah.
This, you know, we were talking earlier about the cancellation of the training camp you know, for January, so they could prepare for the World Cup better.
Yeah, so let's look at Rugby Union, like how they do it. RFU essentially fund their players. So if mm-hmm. if you want to play for England Rugby Union, where you can get £25,000 a test match, so you want to play for England as well as wanting to play for your country, you can't play in France, you can't play in Australia, you've got to play in the Premiership.
But it's country first.
Country first.
International.
But when you're getting paid,
first.
When you're centrally funded by the RFU and you're getting paid good money, then you don't mind that. That's fine. You'll do what the RFU tell you to do. And the clubs don't mind because you're part funding their wages.
Is that at the benefit of the game
as a whole?
Of course
it is. Of course it is. So then the Premiership's a much better competition when you've got all English best players playing the Premiership Rugby Union. So we could take a lesson from them, boys.
More people getting centrally contracted. Could we end up in a draft system, get a more of an even type of competition?
Well, it's a funny thing at the moment, but Hull have literally got into a draft situation regarding their academy.
Well, maybe that's another step towards that. Yeah. They were talking about Calderdale, Kirklees and Bradford coming together to create a super academy as well a few years ago.
It's a funny one, mate. It's a bit of a foreign concept for us because the draft system is not something that we're used to or it's been bred into us. But yeah, Hull at the moment, their academy, they've basically merged Hull Car and Hull, and at the end of every year when they develop to 16, they're going to basically pick which side you go to.
All right, well, if this story develops, I think we're going to come back to this more and more over the course of the next few months. All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking World Club Challenge matches. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. And just a final reminder, we're giving away a family pass to Halifax's game against Sheffield this Sunday down at the Shea, 3 p.m. kickoff. Just answer this very simple question. Which of the Fairbanks brothers and uncle to Jacob did I play alongside of for Bradford Northern and for one or two seasons for Bradford Bulls?
Can I just ask him a question? Which one of your, is it your uncle called Dick? Dick Fairbank. Is it Dick Fairbank?
Yeah.
Because I remember watching, I always watch 101 Great Tries, and it's one where Ellery Allen scores on it shows. And it, what's his name? The old commentator, I believe.
Eddie Waring.
Not Eddie Waring, the other one.
Ray French.
He's going talking about the big 16 stone from up, where are you from?
Halifax.
Elland or somewhere like that. You see him strapping his arms up, and then Ellery Allen comes on and scores a wicked try.
my first year at Giants, talking that. Martin Aspinall used to do it to me every other week.
He'd
put voice on everything.
I watched that about 20 times. Dick Fairbank comes on off the bench.
I always meant to watch it, and I never got around to
it. Is it your uncle? Is that your uncle?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
I've watched that about 50 times.
Mate, you're not a proper Yorkshireman, and an Halifax kid. You haven't watched 101 Greatest Tries.
You're not a rugby supporter.
You're just not a real rugby bloke.
I've got it on tape, VHS and everything.
He's a plastic Fairbank. We found a plastic Fairbank.
Robbo's been promised to me to lend it to me, but it says, only got it on tape.
Betamax. Yeah. How old are you, Robert? All right, to win those their family passes, go on www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Leave your details, which brother, uncle it was that I played alongside of during 95 season, 96 season, and I think he retired in 97. A tough man, strong man. I would argue a freak of nature.
Scary.
Frightening dude. He didn't, you know who we're talking about.
I've heard some stories.
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to say it because I want to talk about him. Carl Fairbank, and this is who it is, so it's the worst competition in the world. but your uncle, he didn't say much, but when he said it, you listened. And the man's head, forearms and his hands were just like shovels.
Yeah.
And when he got a hold of you, that was it. You were done and dusted. And I could picture him, because he used to toss people about on the field. You could just picture him tossing a cow or a moose around on the farm.
Yeah, he hadn't changed much really. And I was just saying, like, man, a few words, but when he speaks, you listen.
You listen. He used to crack me up. He'd tell a joke every now and again, but he'd laugh at himself.
Yeah.
And you just, that's Bro, just gold.
What do you say? He's got arms like Ozzy Osbourne. But he wouldn't dare say it to his
face. Thanks for saying it. Cheers, bro.
I don't think I'd say it, dare say as well. Stories I've heard, it can scrap a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not going to share some of the stories. No. I heard about him because there's a family show. But a frightening man that you didn't double cross.
You don't mess with him.
I heard one time he got hit from behind. There was a punch up in the game. Someone walloped him from behind. So he went and parked up outside the front of their house, just patiently waiting for them to come out. And they wouldn't come out, and they called the local Bobby. Local Bobby came around and had to ask your Uncle Carl, Carl, can you please just, no, I'm waiting for him to come out. We're going to settle this like two gentlemen. And he wouldn't leave the house, and your uncle wouldn't move, and then your uncle eventually said, oh, well, okay, if you're going to act like that, and he went off.
No, I heard that one, but the stars out.
Might have been one of Nobby's stories. Okay, just before we get into the World Club matches, I just want to talk about Roger Draper. He's come out, and he's now holding a real strong position. I think he's Super League, head of Super League. I think that's the position he holds, general manager for the Super League. Great position. Just talking about the last Super League meeting that they had, a couple of things that come out of it. They're going to do a review of the Super 8s, specifically discussing the low crowds during the Super 8s. You know, being that should be the predominant part of the season where everyone's starting to get excited about what's going on with the £1 million game and the championship and the actual Super League playoffs in the top tier, why the low crowds are. I'm going to throw this in as a bit of a hand grenade. Maybe it's because everyone's a bit
bored.
Saturated.
Bored.
They have so many games they're playing now.
Yeah, I agree. Bored. We play too many games, and it's the same old adage that's the reason why as players are so tired at the end of the year. We play too many games. But for me as well, I think we're a little bit when fans buy a season ticket, that's when it's kind of, I know they put little sort of offers on, don't they, for later on, but it just kind of feels like that's when they buy them season tickets for that part of the season. Mm. And then all of a sudden you don't know who you're going to be playing against. You don't know what games are going to be involved.
Well, don't your season tickets count for them?
You don't know if it's going to be three games or four games.
Yeah, but you don't know if it's going to be at home. You don't know if it's going to be away. You don't know if you're going to be at
Batley. Do season tickets account for them, though, or not?
Most do. Some have done a cheaper season ticket and with another option to purchase when it comes around.
But I just think that extra option to then purchase, I just think we Yorkshire people, really, we're Lancashire, we're tight, we're up north. Once you buy that little season ticket, you don't want to go and spend another and do it again. I don't know if it's just my way of thinking, but I just feel like sometimes
what if you're in the Super 8s and you know you're pulling teams like London and Toulouse, and you're in the Championship and you're travelling all those miles, and
I personally feel watching last year, well, I couldn't play much last year, so I ended up watching most games. It just felt like you said, a bit saturated. It felt like we played too many games. And by the end of it, I got bored of watching Super League because it got boring, in my opinion. I think the start of Super League is far more exciting than the end at the moment.
Because it's fatigue? The players are tired?
I think at the start of the season, it's so important to make sure you're in that top eight that becomes more, that for me, is more exciting than watching the playoffs and end
survival
up.
Survival rather than actually success.
Yeah, that's what it's built around, really.
Well, to be honest, there seems like there's only three teams actually fighting out for that success. Because of the new structure, everyone, those other five teams in that top eight, were just playing for survival. Of staying out of those games. There's a lot more that he's actually brought to the table that he's shared with the with local media, but I'm going to move away from that. Let's have a quick look at the World Club matches. First up, on Saturday night, we've got Warrington Wolves hosting Brisbane Broncos. How do you think that's going to go?
Depending on what team Brisbane bring over, but I think if Brisbane bring a strong team over, a strong squad, then can only go one way.
I mean, if evidence on the last couple of years has been, they've all bought their strongest squads. So I'd expect that they would do, because I think they kind of like walking about, you know, puffing their chests out, talking about, oh, we've done the Pommies again.
Yeah, I think they bring over the best side. I just think they're a little bit, they use them a little bit as the trial games, basically, don't they? That's what it is. They use them as a bit of a friendly, as a warm-up to their season. So I don't think they're 100 mile an hour, especially during the training phases. They go up and down and things, and I just think they use it as a bit of a training run. And for me, I don't think Warrington have started too great. I know they only played us in a friendly, but I'm not sure whether it's because they've had one eye on this game that's coming up, or whether they just have started a little bit sluggish. But if I'm being honest, I think Brisbane are going to win.
Okay, Leon.
Brisbane. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
Bobby,
with
who are you thinking about, Warrington or Brisbane?
Yeah, I'm going with Brisbane too.
Okay, the following night on the Sunday, we've got Wigan versus Cronulla. Big one. Wigan look like they've started the season very well. Amazing 40 minutes against Salford on the weekend.
Yeah, I think Wigan are going to win.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I just think
I want Wigan to win. Yeah, I want them to win.
Look, so do I.
I've never said that much, but I want them to win.
We're very tribal, and obviously in our within our sort of structure, within league and championship, Super League, whatever it is. But when an English team plays an Australian team, for me, I'm supporting every English team that plays. And I want Wigan to win, and I just think they're going to nip it at Wigan.
And what about the Bondi babe himself, Leon?
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking? Cronulla?
My heart says Wigan. My head says Cronulla.
Based on,
I want Wigan to win, but I've just got a feeling Cronulla will be too strong.
Turned up again. Bobby, what do you got on there? So we're looking at Cronulla or?
No, unfortunately, I think it'll be an Australian double overs again.
All right.
Turncoat,
plastic Fairbank. You know, we never mentioned them much, but I just want to talk about them just briefly. We've got about 15, 20 seconds. Keithley take on Doncaster in League One. Keithley, we've got a big listenership in Keithley. We're giving you a lot of love. What do you reckon?
You play
Keithley in the playoffs. Well, Doncaster have a good squad.
Yeah, they've got Fekir. They've got Fekir Paliasina.
Richard Barnett.
Jamie Fakre. So they could, I think Donny will get the win.
Oh, okay. I'm going to back Keithley. I'm going to keep it local. All right. That's it for tonight, boys.
Thank you very much.
Much pleasure for having you guys on here. If you want to listen back to the show, you can upload it after the show. We'll put it online. So thanks for being with us.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.